You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Previously on iZombie.
That girl Marcy, who I thought wanted to kill me, she invited me to a party.
You're gonna be stuck with me for the rest of your life. Go, tie one on. What's the worst that could happen? Zombies? Come on.
Regarding my unique dietary needs, when I eat a brain, I get visions. It feels like being on somebody else's acid trip.
Have you been having one of your little hoodoo film festivals up in there?
You are who you eat, right?
You don't just have their visions, you also get some of their personality traits.
I've met this girl before. She's kind of a snarky little bitch.
Oh, I doubt I'll even notice the difference. Am I right in assuming this is a new skill?
Wow, that's impressive.
I know Kung Fu.
So it's last man standing, huh?
When you had the vision, were you holding an apple bomb?
Eat me!
O-M-G. Are you not hearing him?
Why are we whispering?
Wow, what's with the complexion, girly girl? Mime class just get out?
You know they are, right?
What are they?
Zombies, dude.
Your product kills people and you know it.
Live to the max, Ms. Moore.
As for those zombies who are still wandering about, well, just leave them to me.
Why are you doing this? Daddy issues? Megalomania? Greed? Wow. I felt really good to get off my chest.
Just listen to me. I feed Seattle zombies. If you kill me, everyone you love becomes a zombie or zombie food.
Zombies are real, Liv. And don't worry, because I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill them all.
What are you?
Tell me why we can't be together.
You know how Scott E said there were zombies at the pool party?
You're one of them? What are you, lady?
You got your ass kicked by a girl. Get over it.
You're free!
Well, no rest for the wicked, right?
That was the Comic-Con Season 1 sizzle trailer, looking back on Season 1 of iZombie. Alex, any impressions you have from Season 1? I mean, we did just kind of dive into a new show, start podcasting. We were a little unsure about it.
I was just glad that the show that I recommended and said that we totally have to podcast on turned out to be so good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it tells a lot about my taste in general, I suppose. But
well,
yeah.
You did also recommend Gotham. But...
Oh, hush now. Gotham was, you know, that one thing you do in your childhood that you, you know, try to forget and regret for the rest of your life.
I really have the impression of it is not that it surprised me completely, mm-hmm. because I wasn't expecting it to be that tongue-in-cheek but also serious at the same time.
Yeah.
And having just finished podcasting Fear the Walking Dead with Doreen and Jennifer, the show that had so much hype because of The Walking Dead, and having the comparisons it had. Because, you know, in The Walking Dead, you start out in Season 1, you're just following Rick. It's all about Rick, what Rick sees, what he experiences, what he learns, and that's the journey you're going on. Well, now on Fear, you have this whole thing where, okay, we already get it. We know what's happening. And now we have to like all of you characters. We have to learn all about you characters. And time is... Everything in Season 1 of Fear the Walking Dead took place in like 2 weeks. There were a lot of holes like that. And okay, we've had a couple characters die. I don't really care. We've had a couple characters go away. Well, I kind of care about you, but not really. And we'll see. You know, it was that kind of a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I look back on iZombie and I remember we kind of complained at the beginning that
first episode,
like, yeah, like Clive, it's like, first off, stupid name, and if he goes away, we don't care. They did such a great build. By the time we were on episode three, I mean, we were like, Clive, we love you, Clive. We're okay with the name now. We're fine with the name.
We,
I mean,
remember it.
We remember it, and we're looking forward to you, and we think you make a great team, and you're part of Team Z, and even though you don't know you're a part of Team Z. And
but you
also,
are.
Yeah, we found that we grew to love all these characters because they kept focusing on one and helping us learn more about that one and become attached to that one. And I also like the time that they did, because here we see what happened when Liv was in her shiny, happy puppies and rainbows life with Major. And then she turns into a zombie. And then we have 5 months later. So we have all this time for all of this stuff to build up. And they really did a good job, I thought, in that as well, in building this happens over a period of time. It's not just...
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, today you're okay. Tomorrow you're a zombie. Next day you're fighting crime. So
yeah.
It really impressed me, and it actually kind of makes me want to go back and watch Veronica Mars and see if all of that translates to humans at all.
Well, if you do watch season one, season two, you can ignore season three. I still remember how surprised and pleased we were with the character and the interactions and the storyline, how technically, in theory, every character had their own storyline, but somehow, somewhere, they connected, and you know,
yeah, that was good.
It was one big storyline, and it snuck up on us basically without us even paying attention.
Is there anything that you're really hoping for, looking forward to in season two based on season one, or hoping really doesn't happen?
You know what, I actually don't have any expectations as far as this season goes, because I had no expectations in season one, and I had so much fun watching it. So I decided, okay, whatever they do, I will go in open-minded, see what they have in store, because we talked about it, I think, in the several episodes towards the end, that we had no idea where they could go, because it was season one was so self-contained, basically. You know, it was a story from beginning to an end, and it could end with the season one finale. So I basically didn't give it much thought, because I didn't want to build up any expectations and then see that they are going into a completely different direction. Because that's the problem with season two on any show. Second seasons are always weaker than the first ones, and it's really rare to have a strong, amazing season two. So far, I've been watching TV for ages, and so far I can name the shows that had strong, incredible season second seasons on one hand. So no expectations. I'll see where they go. But basing it on episode one of season two, there's hope. Like, there is real hope. And I know that they will do good things.
My only expectation really is I hope they pull it back just a little bit in pacing, because like you said, season one was so self-contained. It could have just standalone, this is it kind of a thing. And I don't want them to burn out. I don't want them to rush along so fast that they don't have anywhere to go, because more scripts have been ordered. I mean, we are looking at potentially going to a full season on this. I mean, it got renewed really fast. And I just don't want them to rush up, kind of like the Gotham thing where, oh, we get more episodes, and let's just keep throwing more and more stuff in.
Not exactly a good thing.
No. And since we do have this crime aspect, the one thing I do look back on is most of the time we didn't care a lick about the crime. And it might be kind of fun if every few episodes we have kind of like that CSI, Law and Order, even Castle kind of thing, where the crime does take a little bit more precedence up front and they kind of learn about themselves or something offhand, you know, because of that. And the crime is a little bit more present. And then you have it where it goes back the other way. Because, I mean, pretty much every crime they had last season, we didn't care.
There was maybe one, two crimes that we actually cared.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
And so otherwise, I just hope they pull it back just enough that they don't burn out, because I'm loving the show. Loving the show. We will be back right after this to talk about season two, episode one, Grumpy Old Liv. I love that title. We don't have to change the titles on any of these shows. That's another thing I'm loving about this show. We'll be back right after this to talk more about iZombie. Here on Sci-Fi for Chicks.
There are plenty of places to get your genre news. We get that. Which is why we go visit those places for you. And then we bring it all back here so it's all in one handy little place. Sci-Fi for Me is your one-stop shop for everything genre. Comic books, video games, TV, movies, the latest best-selling novels. Join us as we delve into the many story universes over a nice cup of coffee. We've got everything you need, all in one place. Sci-fi4me.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
My name is Liv. I used to be passionate, inspire, alive. Now I'm mostly just hungry and a zombie, so there's that.
Welcome back to Sci-Fi for Chicks. This is our BoobTube edition where we look at the latest episode of our favorite TV shows we're watching right now. Today we're going to be talking about iZombie Season 2, Episode 1, Grumpy Old Liv. My name is Heather French. I'll be your host for this episode. And joining me is my podcasting partner in crime who I haven't podcasted with in so long. And that makes me very sad. I've missed her. Hi, Alex Callahan.
Hello, everybody. I'm back.
Well, I guess it does fit in. This is zombie, so horror would be good to kind of get us in the mood. And with Halloween coming up, I'm interested to see if they've got anything timed out for right around Halloween with iZombie, if we're going to get a little more spooky.
Then again, it would be so typical that it wouldn't be very original.
So how could they do it originally? Yeah, how can they do something original? That would be... great. I mean, we're still sticking with Liv and the brain. She's getting a little bit more in touch with the fact that these things are because of the brain. I love in this episode how she sometimes tells, you know, it's like, hey, you know, grumpy old brain, stop it. Shut up. Yeah. I don't want to listen to you anymore. So she's growing. I think that's good. It's a small thing. It's still taking her over. This one was hilarious as she's doing the whole "you kids get off my lawn" kind of a thing.
I just couldn't. When I was watching her, I honestly, I was cheering for Cly because, dude, you have a patience of a saint.
Yeah, does he? Doesn't he?
Though, I gotta tell you, the moment when he actually asked her whether or not she was PMSing, because her behavior was so extreme, I was just... Usually, I do not find the joke funny. Mm-hmm. Usually, I get really offended and outraged at guys who make that joke. But seriously, in this context, I was just... I can't even. I had a giggle fit, basically.
Wasn't that also right around the time when that other guy they arrested was like hitting on Liv and he tells her to back off and she says, yeah, you're one of the good ones. You know, being totally on the grumpy old brain. And he's like, are you sure you just said that? Wasn't it right around that time?
Yes! Yes! And he told her that he's going to go get some coffee. Mm-hmm. And pretend she didn't just say that. Which, by the way, it took me a while because I do not have the same point of reference that you guys do in the States. It took me a while to catch on as to why he reacted that way and what happened. And then how he reacted to her and was like, now it's even twice as funny.
Oh, yeah. He's
just... It was ridiculous. It's like, I loved
it. He didn't have a lot to do in this episode, but what he did actually did make a difference. And what I love, I think we commented this on an episode or two last season, he solved the crime. It really wasn't her at all. I mean, she did, you know, kind of help, but he was being the police detective and really doing his job. And that was great because I don't want it to be totally because of her visions. I don't want that. I want Clive to be a good cop.
And not just he was. Good.
Yeah.
He was great. And now with added bonus of, you know, dealing with grumpy old Liv. Yeah. Which now made his job even more difficult.
Yeah. Well, and then he is one of the good ones, and I mean one of the good guys, because he did defend her, basically, like, hey, that is not acceptable. You don't act like that in my precinct to anybody, especially even if she's being grumpy old Liv, you don't act that way. So I'm fine with Clive now. I'm fine with Clive. His name is Clive. The thing I thought was funny is my first thing, with this whole crime was I thought it was going to be that jogger the fact that they made the murder be just one of the guys she goes by with. Cause I'm like, what the heck are you doing jogging at night with headphones in your ear? Once I start seeing like the masks and the old guy with the boots, you know, and all these creepy things, I'm home. I'm not jogging anymore. So I thought for sure it was her to just throw the murder in as one of her experiences and not even come back to her. We don't care about her again.
Yeah.
I liked that.
That was incredible. And that was something new because I don't think I've seen that all that much before, which is why it took me by, oh my God, she didn't die.
Yeah. And they didn't, she wasn't a witness either. It's not like they're going, oh yeah, I was jogging by. You saw her one other time when we see what actually happened in the murder as she jogs by after seeing the grumpy old man. Yeah. And that's it. She's not anything else. She's just getting us in and giving us this red herring of, oh, it's her. It's her. She's the one that's going to die.
It was a brilliant move. Yeah. I gotta give props to the writers and the director who pulled this off. Incredible.
It was a really good omen of things to come. I think they've got a handle on how they want to do it. Seeing the pictures over the summer too of them in the writer's room, they looked giddy about what they were doing. So I'm really happy about this.
Yeah, but you cannot base an opinion just on pictures because you never know. They might just have really good drugs.
That's true. That's true. Maybe they have some of that lady aspirin that Clive had out there. And maybe so our grumpy old man, Wendell, he should have had some of that lady aspirin. He was grumpy. She was, I mean, nobody really seemed to care that this guy was dead at all.
Yeah, like his own family declined to pick up the body. Come on, who does that?
Yeah, that's just really harsh. No matter what he did, come on, do something. It was that impetus, though, for Liv to not be like him and not be a loner, not do all that, and try and go back with Evan again. How did you like that scene when she's at the beginning, you know, talking about time heals all wounds? It's been 3 months. Evan's still in the hospital. He's had all this. And Mom hates her, and Evan hates her. Evan tells her, go away and don't come back.
Yeah, I think this was my main, not a problem, because problem implies a big thing, but a tiny obstacle? Little scratch on the perfect, you know, picture that we got this episode. Because Liv works in the morgue. She technically has, you know, a medical experience, medical knowledge and all that. And she couldn't, for the life of her, come up with one reason why she couldn't donate blood. Mm-hmm. All she had to do was say that she, you know, had some risky behavior that disqualifies her.
Yeah.
And it didn't have to be drugs. Because when you donate blood, there is the whole list of things you shouldn't do or have while you're donating blood. Even being on her period disqualifies her from donating blood. Having a tattoo within 6 months of donating blood disqualifies you as a donor. Basically, seriously?
Well, and she could have something like, you know, like Hep C or something that she can still function with perfectly, but really can't donate.
Seriously, it's just, and those are the reasons that I can give without having any kind of medical knowledge that is in Google, right? And you're telling me that this girl who has been hiding her, let's call it condition, for the longest time now, couldn't say a word, and suddenly, you know, and so this particular thing feels a bit contrived, but not enough for me to completely be like, oh my God, that's terrible. It's just, it's a wrinkle on otherwise perfect episode that I enjoyed.
Okay, if you're going to do the little wrinkles, I'm like, okay, the scars on his face, it's been 3 months, those should have been healed a lot more than that by now. But
yeah, if they haven't, that means that his injuries were much more serious.
Yeah. I am glad, though, that they did explain how he's still there when she said no, even if it's a throwaway line that there was somebody else, that doctor just happened to be there. Because at the end of last season, is Evan going to be around? Are we going to have this big hole in her family? Because, I mean, he wasn't a big thing, but he was fun.
Yeah.
And it was fun for her to have a little brother.
Yeah. That's another thing, but another wrinkle in storytelling, but a mm-hmm. technical one. Their blood type is O negative, right?
Is that what they said? I think, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that like the most stalked blood type in hospitals because it's a universal donor and it can
It's
go...
It's a universal donor, but all they can get is O negative.
Yeah, but that's because it's a universal
It's the most
donor.
In demand, but it's the most in demand, but it's not necessarily the most in stock because it isn't... It's a rarer type.
I don't know. But that's a, you know, technical logistic problem that I had that stopped me because that's the thing I wonder about. You know, how much of my type of blood a hospital would have. And apparently not much. So I better not be in any accident.
start stockpiling your own blood there for a while.
Yeah, right. I should probably go give blood. Just so you can be nice.
Then they'll give it to somebody else. Well, yeah, if you want to help somebody else, that would be good because that is the universal. So if you're blood type O negative, go give blood. You're a universal donor.
Yeah.
You're screwed if you need blood. Yeah. But...
And after this public service announcement, let's move on.
One last thing on the crime I just want to put up. This is probably the first perpetrator of a crime on the show that I actually felt a little sorry for. Because of the dog. That little doggy face, he's alone. This dog, I'm like, what's gonna happen to the dog? He didn't miss the dog. I'm a pet sitter, what can I say? That was the one thing.
Oh my God, you're one of those people.
I'm happily admit that. Come on, Lana. Those big puppy dog eyes, literally puppy dog eyes she had. That was so cute.
Yeah, but by those people, I mean the people who cry on Game of Thrones when a dire wolf dies and don't care for anyone else.
Annihilate an entire army, I don't care. You hurt one collie, that was our big thing on Fear the Walking Dead too. The episode called The Dog. We're like, we don't like this episode because you hurt the dog. You can kill every human on the planet, but don't hurt the dog. Didn't deserve it. Well, and that and the fact that I love the line that she did, which really was a nice little grumpy old live man American line there when he was talking about how his alibi was watching the Arsenal and Chelsea fight and is like, yeah, you were busy hating America.
I actually loved that, that part because, you know, awesome. I loved how he called it football.
Yeah.
Oh, which soccer. Was like, oh, honey, I love you. I love you. I felt, you know, justified in my love for the killer because mm-hmm. he called it football, which it is. It's proper football, and that's what we call it, not soccer. I'm just saying. I'm going to sit here and hate America for a while.
Grumpy old Alex. You're going to be grumpy old Alex. Gotcha. So you like him because he likes football. I liked him because he had a dog. He's the bad guy because he killed the old grumpy man.
Yeah.
Moving on, let's pick up real quick with Clive. I know we were actually going to kind of go Blaine first, but I want to finish off with Clive here. So what do you think of Clive still sniffing around about Major and Meet Cute?
I'm trying to think how to say something without sounding incredibly shallow.
Oh, please. But why start now?
I was slightly distracted by how tight his shirt was. I'm pretty sure the actor himself worked out during the summer because okay. Good. Have you seen those guns?
Well, since we didn't get shirtlessness in this episode, yeah, we had to get the tank top with Major and the tight shirts on Clive. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that either he worked
Thanks,
out
guys.
Or the props department and the wardrobe department colluded to ensure that I was properly distracted.
We just had a connection dropout there between me and Alex, which she attributes to the fact that Google doesn't want us to talk about shirtless men anymore. We think this is an important topic here in Sci-Fi for Chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. We props to the wardrobe department, the women and the gay guys in wardrobe that decided to shrink his shirt.
Yeah. I'm just saying. And it could be passed as, you know, an accident. They didn't wash it properly and it shrunk, you know, it's not their fault. And mm-hmm. if it happens again, I will not complain because they're trying to do their jobs. I will enjoy it, but do not expect me to, you know, make complicated thoughts about Clive until he stops looking so attractive.
Anyway, so Clive is still sniffing around Major as being a murderer.
I don't know why.
And he is.
Yeah. But seriously, have you but seen can you Major?
Really, can this you really kill the undead? I mean, if they're already dead, does it count?
Would it that counts stand up if in court? People don't know they're already dead.
Well, that's a complicated situation for his lawyer then. I see a big lawyer situation. It did bring up the fact that, well, Liv and Major are not, they're definitely not together, they're not friendly, and we see him turning down all of her phone calls. There's still definitely something there. I loved Ravi trying to tell her, you know, it's like, oh, it's, you know, don't worry about it, he's still upset with me. Oh no, he's talking with you now. Yeah, well, you know, bros before ex-fiancés. So Major's trying to work through it at least and accept this new reality.
Yeah.
Sort of. We'll come back to him. Somebody else that's accepting his new reality. Mr. Blaine or John Doe.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it accepting the new reality. I'm pretty sure he embraced it.
He's reveling in it. Yes, he's... He just seems to be having so much fun. I was wondering, I saw that picture of him standing in front of the stained glass and he's in the suit. I'm like, huh, I wonder what's happening there. I don't get it. And as soon as he started talking, I went, oh, it's a funeral home. He's a funeral director now. Oh, I love it. This is awesome.
This is amazing. But I got to tell you, the moment, if you close your eyes when Blaine eats the chocolate, it's like, you know, listening to porn. I could totally understand where Liv was coming from. Like, are you having an orgasm?
Yeah. Are you going to eat that or impregnate it?
It was like, oh yeah, I can see why she thought so.
If all you've been eating is spicy brains for however long, and you finally get to have chocolate again, nummy. I was wondering where they were going to go with him after Meet Cute, because I was actually sad to see Meet Cute go. It was such a fun little thing
from
there.
From the name to everything else.
Yeah. And I knew he wasn't being respectable. He's not in a respectable business. He's got an angle.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just got Meet Cute under a different name now, basically.
Yeah. But it was... I was worried that Blaine would be in trouble. Basically, because suddenly he's not a zombie, he doesn't have the power that he used to have, and he has all those people who might or might not go after him. So I was worried, and I was so pleased to see that the writers didn't go in the obvious direction.
Mm-hmm. Because which was?
Blaine in trouble and, you know, having, you know, being poor and hunted down and, you know, whatever.
Right.
But seeing him, you know, embracing this new opportunity of actually, you know, still being semi-bad guy, because let's face it.
Deliciously bad guy.
Exactly. But at the same time, you know, still thinking like Zombie Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
I see great things for him in the future, and they're going to be terrible, terrible, terrible things, and I can't wait.
What I think was great was kind of along the lines of what you're saying is his power didn't come from being a zombie. His power really is from within him, because he knows he doesn't have that zombiness to scare about. Like you said, any of his clients could come and go after him, but he was able to turn it around and say, hey, listen, I can still keep you in check.
Yeah.
I can still provide the same service. A little different, but I'm respectable. I can go respectable in quotes and can still get this done. And he still has that sense of humor. You know, like, it's so rare that the dead get to choose when we're looking at the caskets there. And, he just still has that same Blaine-ness about him. And I'm really glad to see that. And it brought up something interesting because since we have Blaine and Major being the only two that have gotten the cure, well, and Hope One, who didn't do so well on formula cure number one.
Yeah.
And we now have New Hope, or what did she call?
Final Hope.
Final Hope. As she's doing, she's wondering why Final Hope doesn't like her. And we figure this out because of this clue that we see with Blaine, and then we get it reinforced with Major, that when a zombie enters the room and a former zombie is there, the hairs on the back of their neck and body stand up. And he didn't freak out about this. He's like, oh, okay, you're coming to visit me.
Yeah, but this is something that I liked, the difference in reaction, because you can tell that Blaine has been around zombies since being cured, because he wasn't shocked by his body's reaction to seeing Liv. But Major, on the other hand, freaked out.
Because it's only happened one other time, and that was in a crowd, he said.
Yeah, and he didn't know what was going on. But now he was just with this one guy in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to the right conclusions, obviously. But I loved the difference.
Right.
Because it really shows you the type of people that they are. You know, Blaine with his Blaineness. I suppose. And Major, who takes everything seriously and emotionally, and you know, it was just
Do you realize that
they put it in same episode, basically.
Do you realize that we also don't have a problem with Blaine's name anymore? This is how much we're loving the show.
Yeah,
we don't have a problem with that.
I'm pretty sure that if Lowell survived, I would be calling him Lowell by now.
Well,
but
exactly.
Alas, you know, since he died horrible and painful death, that
he's dusty.
He's
a little dusty now.
He will remain Arthur to me.
Kind of going back to what you said, it kind of reminds me like in Being Human, when you have Mitchell or Aiden, whichever version you're watching, kind of embracing being a vampire. This is what I am. And then you have your George or Josh character really trying to put the werewolf side of them
away. Oh,
that's away.
A perfect analogy.
You know, that's what it seems like, is Blaine is just like, yeah, this is what I am, and this is awesome, or what I was, and this is what I know, and I know this about the world. And Major is just like, I don't like this, I can't. It has to go in this box. And I only open that box if I absolutely have to. And Liv's calling. I don't want to open that box. She's still calling. Oh, gosh, I have to open this box. That's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah, that is a perfect analogy, honestly. I haven't thought about it, but
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, well said. Well said.
Oh, I got one in on I get some praise from Alex. I feel so happy. I like, too, that Liv got an upper hand on him in throwing in that, you know, hey, we're not sure that this cure is permanent. That did seem to rock Blaine a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd thought of that or not. Because especially when he said, yeah, which cure did you give me? First batch? No, second batch. It was like this moment of relief, but she's right. Her and Ravi are right. We don't know what this cure number two could do.
Yeah. Plus, but still, at the end of his you know, block of a storyline, when he was going after, you know, and trying to learn how to cut the tainted utopian, I kind of wondered whether or not he was so interested in it to make sure that Ravi develops the actual cure that will keep him human,
right?
Or he was trying to get the source of, you know, making more zombies. But that's the beauty of Blaine. It can be both.
Yeah, he's a very ambiguous character. You don't really know which way he's going to go. Because that when he goes down and he opens up that casket of pure uncut utopium.
Yeah.
Okay, first off, why do you have this much pure uncut utopium, and what are you going to do? So here's this precursor to this bigger plan. But you're right. Why is he going after us? Is he doing it because, like Liv said, we need this tainted utopium so that we can try and replicate the cure and you know, make sure that you and Major are safe, and not that she cares if Blaine's safe, but that it actually works? Is he doing it for that? Is he doing it to make more zombies? Is he doing it so that part of me feels like he doesn't want to be out of control. That he wants, you know, that here's this block. Okay, we don't know about this now. I need to have this under control. I need to be on top of this. And now I have this question mark uncertainty thing out there. Maybe?
This is why I think it's both. He's, pursuing both goals at the same time. He's efficient like that.
Yeah. He's very intuitive too, because I agree with him. I think that Liv does like being the hero. I don't think she wants to admit it, but I think she does.
Yeah, probably. We'll see. We'll see.
So let's move on to Max Rager, and we'll get a little bit more into Major from Max Rager. We have the return. Okay, I forgot. Okay, this is where it's been 3 months. What is Steven Weber's character's name again? I can't remember.
I don't know because I call him Steven Weber.
Steven, I know. So that's what I do, Steven Weber. I love seeing him back, and I love
I did
seeing.
not expect to see him
I
the
did
first
not expect to
episode.
see him this. Oh no, not this, not the first episode. He shouldn't have been here. Where, what is he doing here? He is in full Steven Weberness too, but like the diabolical Steven Weberness.
Yeah.
Love that.
Which is why I was so surprised to see him. Because actors of that, magnitude and that important characters that are so important, he was crucial to the storyline in season one, right? So I was expecting him to come back, but during sweeps. And,
Yeah.
in the second half of the season, because that's when I expect the storyline to actually, gain so much momentum that I will not be able to wait a week to see the new episode. But to see him first episode, I'm like, what? And I don't know if you've noticed, but the way they carried on the storyline implies to me at least that we will see him in almost every episode because that's what it looks like. And if not him, then the roommate
Yeah.
slash secretary. And is he a serious regular?
I don't think so. No. But I think he's, by the way, Vaughn Duclark.
Yeah, Steven Weber is
We're
such a better
Steven
name.
Weber. Yeah. We're sorry. We love you, Steven. We're still not on board with that name like we were with Clive and such. I don't know. I think he's going to be that kind of reoccurring, where he's just going to keep like massaging that storyline. He's going to come in there and just really make it even better, especially now with what he has. I mean, he was so cocky in like those phone calls and talking to them. It's like, yeah, what with all I've got. And he's just having fun playing that video
Yeah.
tennis, whatever thing he was. No big deal. We've got this under control. The secretary comes in. Really, you have an idea for this. And he's just so cocky and brilliant that I have to admit, I did not see it coming that he had those phone calls of Major's recorded, and that he got that whole thing where he now has Major under his thumb. That reveal when they turned around and you saw that that's who
Yeah.
he was talking to. I was so happy and yet so sad because I know where Major's now going to go, but Major has an actual storyline in this. Because I thought at the end of last season, they were going to turn him into this total vigilante that is doing nothing but, you know,
Killing
trying to go out
random
there,
zombies.
kill, yeah, kill, 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 kill. And you can see in these 3 months, he hasn't wanted to do that. He hasn't been out there on this vendetta. He's been trying to get his life back on order,
Back.
but it's not working. and he's trying to push away this thing, and now he's been pulled back in. It's kind of like that, you know. I keep trying to get out, but they keep pulling me back in. And it's going to be an interesting aspect for Robert Buckley to tackle staying true to who Major was, but now this new job where Vaughn, Steven Weber, is, yeah, we want you to take care of our zombie problem since you have the Z-Dar, as you trademarked it there. He has the Z-Dar to actually detect zombies. And there's 322 suspected zombies, and he wants Major to kill them.
Mm. And it's just, this is something that I'm wondering, because it's obvious that they're going to close this plot line within second season if they follow the same recipe that they had in season one.
Uh-huh.
But Max Rager and Steven Weber as a, you know, character, Vaughn, fine, let's call him Vaughn, the plot line that they have is so much bigger, and they are so much more powerful than Major's storyline in season one, because season one was basically Major having a psychological breakdown.
Yeah. And lovesick puppy.
Yeah.
Who's been pushed aside, and then the breakdown. Yeah. That was
it. Even though it was incredible, it could be boiled down to, you know, two sentences. But here, he is being blackmailed. Mm-hmm. He knows that at some point Liv will be a target, and him killing innocent zombies will...
Innocent in quotes.
Yeah. Will maybe possibly push that farther away. But for the guy who had an emotional and psychological breakdown not 4 months ago, plot-wise, I don't see this having any sort of healthy impact on him. I mean, he's going to break again, but this time because Max Rager and Vaughn...
For real.
Yeah. Max Rager and Vaughn are so powerful and seemingly untouchable. I can't see a way out by the end of the season. And that's exciting. Scary, but exciting.
Yeah, the only way out really is the demise of Vaughn, as far as I see it. Because, I mean, they pulled out the stops in how are we going to manipulate him in this? Even trying to do, hey, we're going to implicate you in the meet cute. You know, I bet he could find or fabricate evidence that would 100% implicate Major. And he's still like, no. It's not because he has this hatred for zombies. They're not going to get him there. They're not going to get him because of meet cute. How do they get him? It's because they threaten Liv. And so you still have this bond between them that does show to me somehow at the end, at the very end, when the series ends, these two have to be back together. Mm. Even if it's just the last shot, you know it's got to happen. But what torture are they going to go through as he's now doing this to keep her safe, because she's dealing with minor things. And I hate to say that, you know, the murders that she's dealing with the police department are minor things. This is really just everyday stuff in the police department compared to what Max Rager
basically,
or
this is something Vaughn is doing. She signed up for.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really have to kill anybody. But Major was a social worker.
Yeah. He helped people.
He helped people. And now, sure, he went through this, you know, psycho phase. But the zombies that he was killing were basically killers themselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I could see how, from his point of view, he was still helping people. But now he killed a father of two daughters, right?
And, two kids, yeah. Were they both daughters?
Yeah, I think so. And it's only going to go down from here, you know? It's just...
And along the way, he reveals something. He finds out something and reveals it to Ravi, that he had this encounter with this guy who was a zombie, but he didn't have the white hair. He didn't have the white skin. He didn't have those instant telltales.
Yeah.
So somehow the zombie thing is also mutating in a way that you don't have those obvious physical tells. So Ravi at least knows that before he's pulled into this whole world of 322 suspected. Well, down to 321 now, I guess. The pain on his face, too, when he was dumping that body.
Yeah.
Was...
Oh, poor him. Honestly.
I have no idea how he can come out of this. I mean, you thought he was hurt and damaged enough by finding out that he was briefly a zombie and then cured, and that his ex is a zombie, and all this, you know, that all the kids he was trying to help are dead because of this, and now he's in the heart of it, and he can't get out.
Mm. I bet Robert Buckley is thrilled with the stuff that he's going to get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as we have a few more shirtless scenes. The final reveal that we really had was Liv's new roommate, because I have to admit, I'm sad about Peyton, and I hope this is just a temporary absence, because I really did like Peyton. But I do want more women on the show. That is something that we've talked about here. This is a female-centered show, and there's not a lot of female characters on here other than incidentals. The jogger.
Yeah.
The old sister kind of thing. So we know we have a new roommate, and they were teasing that all episode for that big reveal. Did you see that coming?
I did not see it coming, but I loved it once it appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I first saw the secretary, I immediately liked her. Because of the way she carried herself and because of the way she interacted with Vaughn, who is a very specific man, and it takes a specific type of personality to deal with him and not, you know, run away. And I immediately wanted to see more of her. And this plot twist basically ensures that I will get my wish. Thank you, CW. And plus, it's going to get more, you know, get us our wish of having more female characters. Because once she is undercover, basically, we will see more of that girl, both in the Max Rager offices and with Liv, where she's basically a completely different person.
And with Major.
Yes.
She did the whole thing at the end, you know, with this hot guy that's there and lives
I'm pretty sure that if we don't get Max Weber in every episode, we will get her. Because she will become Major's handler, so to speak.
Exactly. And that's going to be an interesting dynamic. I mean, we did have Liv and Lowell in season one. That was totally consensual. I mean, they were both enjoying this. Yay, we're both zombies and we can be ourselves with each other. And now you've got two people who also have this secret that they can't share with everybody else. But it's a totally different kind of secret. And she has the upper hand on him. And that should be really interesting, I think, for the two of them.
We'll see how they do this.
Hey, if it gets us more Major time, I'm happy about it. I am looking forward to an episode that we get a little more Ravi time. We had some good quality moments with him, but... this was not a Ravi-heavy episode, but not everyone should be, but I miss Ravi, so I'm looking forward to Ravi.
Well, like everybody. Hashtag Ravi rocks.
Any final thoughts on this episode?
I enjoyed it. It was a good first episode of second season, and it really did give me hope for the rest of the season. So
it does. Props definitely.
To them.
Most props definitely. So on our Sci-Fi for Chicks High Zombie hotness scale that I am adjusting, you are not... I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. We were at the end of, well, actually for most of the season, we were basically 7 was as low as we'd go. It was mostly 8, 9s, and 10s. I'm adjusting mine down a little bit so that I have a little more latitude to really differentiate. They're not just all 8s or all 9s. So I'm going to be a little tougher, but a lower score doesn't mean it's bad for me. A lower score does mean it's bad from Alex. And I have a feeling you won't be hearing anything below a 5, if you even hear a 5 from Alex. But so I just have that little, it's like the tornado scale. We used to have the Fujita scale here, and now it's the enhanced Fujita scale because the winds were getting stronger and they're getting more detailed in it. So you're going to be old school, I'm new school. So on the iZombie hotness scale, what do you rate this one?
Well, I wanted to rate it 8, but apparently it's too high for you.
Now you can rate it 8 if you want.
If you say so. But yeah, for me it was 8 because it was a really good episode and I enjoyed it a lot, and there was just 1-2 minor wrinkles in it, and they weren't even things that pulled me out of watching it. they were just things I thought about when I was, you know, analyzing the episode for the purpose of this podcast. If I was watching it mindlessly, I wouldn't even notice them. But I was actually analyzing it, which is why I noticed them. But yeah, for me, it's an 8.
Okay, so for Alex, she has an 8 on my enhanced hotness scale. I'm giving it actually a Serrano, a 5, which is actually a very good one. I thought it was a really solid start. A really solid start to the season, and it set up so many great things. I see room for a lot more for it to grow. I don't see a lot of room for it to fall back. I don't see a lot of room for us to say, oh, they really failed this episode. So that's why there's only a few numbers below if they go below this. But I see a lot of potential for it to just get so deliciously hot and spicy and wonderful. So for me, it's, I think we both love this episode.
Yeah.
I'm just saying 5. So I have more numbers to differentiate between. So we love you both. I'm just being tougher. Next week, we have season 2, episode 2. Liv is going to a frat. She's going to become a frat boy.
That's going to be such a bad idea. I cannot wait. But, oh my God, so many
images.
Things that could go wrong with this.
And so beautifully right, too, though. I'm really looking forward to that. I can see her playing, like, beer pong and her and, you know, Ravi. She's going to surprise Ravi because Ravi is the one that, you know, he and Major will drink and play video games. Oh. She's now going to become that.
Okay, I am telling this to you now so that... you're not surprised, but if Liv plays video games with Ravi while on Frat Brain, my grade for the episode will automatically go at least 1 point up. I am telling you this now, so you're not surprised.
Okay, I
because
appreciate
that. If they give me this bromance that I craved from the very beginning, I will give them all the points.
All of them?
Well, no, plus one from my actual, you know, decision. But they will get a plus one.
There is just so much wonderful that could come from this that I don't even know what to say.
I cannot wait. We will see. But I have great hopes for it.
I have great hopes for this whole season. I think it's really going to...
Mm-hmm.
Just keep growing. Like I said, I just hope they rein in it enough that they don't burn themselves out, because if they're getting more episodes, I don't want it to be where those extra episodes feel tacked on or, you know, that they feel like they've got to figure out something for them to kind of...
Let's have faith, because they did not disappoint us so far. So I am willing to give them some room to show me that I was not wrong. Interesting them. Hint, hint, iZombie writers.
Do not disappoint Alex. If there's one thing you should learn.
Oh no, ask Gotham how that worked out for them. And, you know, our podcast, which you can't because we no longer do a podcast for Gotham.
Yes. Dear genre, we quit you.
Yeah.
That's true.
No love, us.
We will be back next week to talk more iZombie. Until then, make sure you go over to Twitter and follow us at Sci-Fi for Chicks. Go over to iTunes or the podcast platform of your choice and subscribe to us, also Sci-Fi for Chicks. And you can email us, sci-fi for chicks@sci-fi4me.com, or call the hotline, 573-427-2434. That's 573-42-SCI-FI. Alex, it's so good to be back podcasting with you. I've missed it.
See you possibly next week.
Possible. Well, we will see you next week. Our episodes. Oh, so I guess I should go ahead and do the little disclaimer here. Our episodes over the next few weeks are going to become a little bit later. Next week is Alex's birthday. Yay. Happy early birthday, Alex. Everybody wish Alex a happy birthday. And then the next week after that, she's going out of town for her birthday, and then I'm going out of town, so Doreen is actually going to fill in on a couple episodes, and a few of our episodes we're going to delay until Alex can be back. So our schedule's going to be a little floopy these next few weeks, but we are still going to get you an iZombie podcast.
Yeah, and be patient with us, but it will be worth it.
It's her. It's the birthday girl. So listen to her. Don't upset her. Please, please don't. We will see you on the next episode of iZombie. And also don't forget to check out our Women of Genre series. We've done already Women of Jurassic Park and a two-parter Women of S.H.I.E.L.D. that Alex was a part of. And we have coming up very soon the Women of The Walking Dead and the Women of Grimm. So do check those out. We can't wait for you to comment on those. We will talk to you next week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Next time on iZombie.
Guy gets stabbed multiple times and no one saw anything.
Seriously?
And so it begins.
I'm on frat boy brains. Everything's being filtered through the bro zone.
Who do you guys know who totally sucks?
That's not important.
Seems like a solid jumping off point, bro. These brains are fun as hell. Yeah! Remind me again how this is for work? Oh, it's hard to explain. I'm trying to be proactive.
Watch the episode, then listen to Sci-Fi for Chicks.
What I wouldn't get for a piece of your brain right now.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.
There are zombies living among us.